Chapter 7.
Much is demanded of those to whom much is given.
Lord Castellant Grimm recited the first canticle to himself as he watched Torglug's legion charge towards the bridges. They were the words upon which the Hallowed Knights had been founded. In them was written the promise of woe and struggle, but also the promise of triumph. Grimm took solace in such solemn wisdom. The greater the test of faith, the darker the ordeal, the brighter and more magnificent the glory to be gained. Grimm felt pride as he heard the shouts of the Hallowed Knights ringing out all across the ice.
"Only the faithful!" they cried, reaffirming their devotion to their chamber and to Sigmar, the God King.
Even faced by the onslaught of Torglug's hideous horde, the Stormcasts were without fear. To lay down their lives in service to their god was the noblest purpose to which they could aspire. Before that resolve, the horrors of chaos had no power. The Silverneth were ranged across the gap, dispatched by the Lady of Vines to support their efforts against Torglug's plague hosts. Commanded by the mighty Tree Lords, the Wargroves glared across the gap at their foes, vengeance blazing in their eyes. A terrible groaning litany rose from the tree creatures, a horrifying paean promising merciless retribution for those who had despoiled their lands. Judicators loosed volleys of arrows into the Chaos Legion, each Sigmarite missile descending as a shaft of crackling lightning. Armored knights sizzled in the saddles of their mutated steeds. Howling tribesmen fell to the ice as smoking husks. Hopping demons burst in showers of ichor and corruption. Yet for every foe the archers brought down, it seemed a dozen more came boiling out from the fog. They trampled their dead and dying underfoot, concerned only with reaching the bridges and the prize that awaited them on the other side. The grotesque demons, the hideous knights, the warlords' elite troops, the advance of so many formidable enemies, told Grimm that Torglug had taken the bait. The warlord was impatient to capture Alariel, casting aside prudence in his dash to seize the bridges. Now was the moment to frustrate the villain's ambition. With his army committed to the assault, Torglug would lose valuable time withdrawing and reorganizing if he failed to capture the bridges and cross the gulf. While the judicators continued to whittle away at the horde with their arrows, Grimm raised his warding lantern high. It was the signal to the paladins deployed at the ends of the bridges. Lightning hammers and thunder axes smashed into the ice, chopping deep into the frozen spans. Chips and slush exploded beneath each blow, but Grimm could tell the retributors and decimators were making little progress. The pack was too thick. Even the lightning called down by Lord Relictor Morbus failed to do more than sink smouldering pits in the surface of one bridge, the energy diverting away to crackle across the open water beneath. Towering tree lords shambled towards several of the spans, trying to crack them with their burrowing roots, but even this effort proved futile.
"Tegras!" Grimm called to the Prosecutor Prime. "The ice is too thick on our side. I need your brethren to assault the bridges from above and try to crack them from the middle."
"By Sigmar's will it shall be done," Tegras vowed.
Spreading his great wings, he climbed into the air, the rest of his command rising up to join him. Their silver armor glistened in the sunlight as they soared above their fellow Stormcasts. Then they were speeding away towards the churning waters. The prosecutors hadn't gone far before abominable shapes dived at them from the stormy skies. Obscenely bloated, their membranous wings caked in frost, the demonic rotflies flew at Tegras and his warriors with ravenous abandon. Upon the back of each droning insect, a cyclopean plague-bearer shrieked its own slobbering battle cry, waving its rusted demon blade overhead.
"Sigmar be with you," Grimm prayed,
as he watched the aerial combatants close. The task he'd set the prosecutors would be doubly difficult now. He remembered Gardas's admonition about always having a plan for failure. Swinging his warding lantern across his body, he signaled the other Hallowed Knights. The liberators closed ranks at the end of the spans the paladins were chopping away at, forming a shield wall to block any enemy trying to get across. as if following the example set by the stormcasts, dryads and larger tree creatures marched into tight-knit formations behind the bridges being attacked by the tree lords. It had been his intention to hold Torglug on the other side of the gap, but now Grimm had to prepare for the eventuality that the plague hosts would reach at least some of the bridges. Their objective now was to keep the diseased legion from securing a foothold on their side of the ice. Every moment they could delay the hordes of chaos was one more chance for the Lady of Vines and her precious burden to escape. Wind whipped across Tegris's body as he banked before the murderous dive of a plague drone. The serrated claws of the rotflies scraped across his armored leg, but failed to seize hold of him. The corroded plague sword of the insect's rider came much closer to knocking him from the sky, the foul blade blackening the bright aura of his arcane wings. The Prosecutor Prime arched around his attacker, bringing his hammer cracking against the fly's swollen abdomen. A vile spray of ooze and putrescence spilled from the ruptured insect. It floundered in midair, the plague-bearer hurtling from its saddle to splatter on the ice far below. Tegris dived down upon the wounded rotfly, smashing his hammer into its head. Already dead from the blow, the monster plummeted from the sky to join its rider. Tegris was buffeted by the fierce winter winds, thrown through the air by a wave of driving ice and snow. It was a struggle for him to correct the spin he was thrown into, diving and juking in an effort to tear himself from the gale's grip. Around him, he could see other prosecutors sharing his struggle, fighting to win free of the howling winds. Some of the plague drones were sent down towards the ice, but more of the fiendish creatures managed to get away. They circled around, rising above the driving force, ready to dive back at the winged stormcast.
"Prosecutors! Our objective remains the bridges!"
Tegris called to his brethren. It was an onerous order to inflict upon them. To strike at the bridges would mean exposing themselves to the plague drones. Even so, the havoc the flying demons could wreak was inconsequential beside the utter carnage that would result if Torglug's legion was able to cross the gulf. Firming his grip upon his hammers, Tegris swooped towards the bridges. The hammer strikes exploded with a thunderous crack as Tegris hurled his weapons against the bridge, blasting chunks of ice into the air. He darted through the flying debris, risking a glance back at the damage he'd managed to inflict. A section of the bridge had crumbled away, slamming down into the churning water below. He could see sleek, sinuous sea serpents striking at the sinking ice, lashing out in blind retaliation against the wreckage. Anything of flesh and blood falling into those waters would be quickly devoured. The span across those waters, however, remained intact. The gouge Tegris's hammers had inflicted against it wasn't enough to break the bridge. Even now, Chaos Warriors and Marauders were marching out, goaded onwards by threats from their chiefs and champions. Wheeling around, drawing another hammer from Sigmar's storm, the weapon crackling into his armored fist, Tegris dived down to try again. Around Tegris, the other prosecutors tried to follow his lead. Several of them were beset by the plague drones, slashed by the claws and mandibles of the rotflies, or else cut down by the plague swords of their riders. He saw one of the prosecutors dip beneath the onslaught of two adversaries, only to be impaled by a spear cast at him by the barbarians rushing across the bridge. The injured stormcast spun towards the water, his armored body snapped up by one of the gigantic serpents when it lunged at him from beneath the sea. An instant later, a blue flash of light shot up from the churning waves. Another set of plague drones dived at Tegris. The plague bearers were taking charge of their brutish steeds now, restraining the rotflies' mindless aggression and turning them towards more disciplined methods of attack. The demons that pursued him were coordinating their assault, supporting one another as they sought to knock the Prosecutor Prime from the sky. The demons little guessed the enemy they now faced. Tegris was in his element, exulting in the thrill of diving and weaving around his foes. Far more nimble than the rotflies, he was able to soar around and behind the vile creatures. Casting his hammer at one of the demons as he climbed above it, Tegris had the satisfaction of seeing its thorax cut in half by the missile. The bisected monstrosity crashed into the bridge below, pitching a clutch of screaming marauders into the hungry maws of the serpents. The other plague drone tried to capitalize on the distraction of its companion's destruction, whipping so close to Tegras that some of the acidic slime drooling from the rotfly's proboscis splashed across his armor. The Stormcast threw himself into a downward spiral, wings folded close against his back. The icy air rushed past him as he hurtled straight towards the open water. He could sense the plague drone pursuing him, refusing to abandon its prey. Lower and still lower, Tegras plummeted. Then, at the last instant, he unfurled his wings and propelled himself skywards once more, speeding himself upwards with the momentum of his fall. It was a maneuver the bulky creature couldn't match. The ghastly demon and its fiendish rider slammed into the churning sea, the impact ripping limbs from the bloated insect and sending its one-eyed rider vanishing into the depths. As he rose back into the storm-swept sky, Tegras could see his warriors were sorely beset by the plague drones. Valiantly, some of them continued to make sorties against the bridges, but they were too few to bring any concentration of force to bear against the spans. Though their javelins sent many of the enemy falling into the water, they weren't enough to complete the demolition. More and more, the prosecutors were compelled to use their weapons against swarms of plague drones, annihilating them before they could close with the stormcasts. Tegras drew another hammer from Sigmar's storm and looked for the gouge his earlier cast had inflicted. It might be a desperate hope, but if the first hammers had weakened the span enough, a second impact in the same spot might be enough to break it. Desperate or not, he was determined to try, whatever the risk. "Sigmar, guide my hand!" Tegras cried out, as he drove past the circling plague drones and towards the bridge below. Grim felt as though the snow swirling down from the sky had closed around his own heart. He saw the prosecutors being attacked by the pernicious rotflies. The demons were too numerous, the elements too capricious, and the target too formidable. One of the winged warriors swooped down with a stormcall javelin in each hand. Though he hurled both missiles into one of the bridges, though he himself was caught in the resultant explosion and hurtled into the icy sea, the span remained standing. It needed more strength to crack the bridges, a more direct approach than what Tegras and his prosecutors had so valiantly attempted. Perhaps some of Morbus's dour perspective had infected him, but Grimm had planned for this possibility from the first, much as he disliked to give the command. Angston knew what troubled the Lord Castellan's mind.
"We can try to hold them," he suggested.
Grimm shook his head.
"No, my friend. Our only chance to hold them is to force them into a bottleneck. They have to be driven into a killing ground where we can bring our full strength against them. If we let them come at us across a broad front, they will prevail simply through force of numbers."
He turned to Marcius, Diocletian, and the primes of the other paladin retinues. Quietly, he gave them the command. The Stormcasts gave the Lord Castellan a grim salute, then hastened to the bridges. Retributors and decimators sprinted out onto the spans and began to attack the ice beneath them, the liberators closing the shield walls behind them as the paladins ranged onto the bridges. Here, out over the churning water, the pack was far thinner, and at once the terrifying crack and creak of the weakening bridges snapped across the battlefield. The reckless action of the paladins sowed confusion among the oncoming plague hosts. Some of the barbarians and mutated monsters tried to retreat, while others attempted to redouble their rush across and fall upon the stormcasts before they could achieve their purpose. Turmoil erupted between the panicked and the determined, and along several of the spans, fratricidal conflict broke out between the factions. The dead and dying of both sides cast into the sea and the hungry maws of the giant serpents. Upon one of the bridges, a squadron of Chaos Knights trampled their craven compatriots and charged for the far side. In their path stood the retributors, their lightning hammers digging great gouges in the ice. Grimm could see retributor Prime Marcius among the paladins, a massive hammer gripped in his armored hands.
"Only the faithful!"
Marcius cried out, as he raised the weapon overhead and brought it smashing down into the bridge. The span shattered beneath Marcius's blow. With the Chaos Knights only a few yards away, the entire bridge crumbled. Shrieking horses and shouting men were sent pitching into the roiling waters below. The same destruction that reached out to drag down the plague riders also claimed the retributors. The ice upon which they stood tilted upwards for an instant, then dropped away in a great sheet, knifing down into the sea. Flares of blue lightning streaked up into the sky after the paladins sank into the icy waters.
"Sigmar take you into his keeping," Grim whispered,
bowing his head in tribute to Marcius's sacrifice. Similar scenes unfolded across several of the other bridges. Often the defenders were successful in their demolition. Diocletian and his decimators were snatched from the verge of destruction by the intercession of a pair of tree lords, who caught them as their end of the bridge began to pitch down into the sea. After the fall of the slaughter brute, it seemed the Silverneth had decided some axes could be used for good instead of ill. Grimm's plan was to funnel the plague hosts down three specific bridges, spans positioned so that his judicators would have the enemy in a crossfire as they advanced, and where the defenders on the other side would be able to form a unified front. Instead, the enemy was able to capture a few bridges not in his calculations. The first was seized when a unit of retributors was obliterated by plague drones soon after the dramatic sacrifice of Marcius and his men. The flying demons swarmed down onto the paladins in a frantic mass of slashing claws and stabbing proboscises. The fiends following behind the first assault attacked their own, ripping open abdomens swollen with acidic putrescence to coat the retributors in caustic filth. Whenever a stormcast faltered, a rotfly was quick to seize him in its claws and dive with him into the sea. By the time the loathsome attack was finished, the retributors had been exterminated, and the bridge belonged to Torglug. A second span was seized when three mighty tree lords attempted to destroy it by sending their roots burrowing into the ice at the middle of the bridge. Before they'd proceeded far, a marauder chieftain unleashed a mob of hideously mutated chosen against the Silverneth. The howling chosen, their bodies twisting and changing at each step, hurled themselves upon the great tree creatures. Though many of them were crushed in the hands of the tree lords or impaled upon their branches, too many won through to attack the Silverneth with bronze axes, iron swords, and their own grisly claws. The chosen hacked and hewed until the mighty tree lords were overcome. Roaring in victory, the mutants pushed the splintered carcasses over the side. Though their triumph was short, and the arrows from Judicator's bows soon avenged the tree lords, the damage was done. As they had with the other bridge, detachments of Stormcast Eternals and Wargroves of Silverneth removed themselves from the main formations to guard these crossings.
"We can defend 12, Angston assured Grim.
The Lord Castellan nodded.
"We will defend 12, he said.
Glancing away from the plague hosts striving to cross the sea, he looked behind their own defensive line. He could just see the Lady of Vines and her last bodyguard slipping away behind the concealment of another snow flurry. If not for the radiant glow of the Queen Seed, he doubted he would have been able to spot her at all. The Branch Wraith had left half of her people behind to aid the Hallowed Knights. Grim was uncertain if it was a reflection of the growing unity between their factions, or a dire testament to the gravity of the situation. Either way, he was certain she hadn't made such a decision lightly. She had to know that those she left behind were unlikely to return. Grim turned his gaze back upon Torglug's diseased horde. He could see the warlord himself, bloated with corruption, his horned helm caked in filth and decay. Survival didn't matter here. Their only purpose was to hold for as long as they could, to hold and deny Torglug the prize his infernal master coveted.
"By Sigmar's grace," Grim said, "we will hold them back."
There was a man once. He fell into a hole and thought he would die there. He prayed he would die there. How he begged and pleaded. But he didn't die. He suffered on and on and on. Hours became days, became weeks, became months. He was lost and he was alone, and even the company of his enemies was denied to him. How he would have savored their taunts and jeers. How he would have welcomed their abuses. What torture could compare to being alone, abandoned even by those he hated? There was a man once. He dared a god to do its worst, and that was just what it did. The sweet relief of death was denied him. The blissful release of madness eluded him. The sicknesses that consumed his flesh refused to fully destroy him. They left him just enough coherency to appreciate the pain they brought. They withdrew and faded, only to return, easing his agony only so that the relapse would hurt so much more. Dread hounded his mind when pox and plague relented, terror tightening around him as he anticipated their return. Those whom the gods destroy, they make mad. A far worse fate beckons those whom the gods covet. Flesh, spirit, and mind alike must be broken. Broken and formed anew. Changed into the vessel that can best serve its new master. Torglug's blemished eyes fastened upon the hateful light shining from the enemy leader's lantern. He forced himself to look upon it, grinding his teeth against the pain it provoked. Another of Sigmar's pathetic champions, another delusional fool who trusted in a power mightier than chaos. Right to the end, Lord Celestant Gardas had believed in the God King's power. That hadn't saved him from the might of Nurgle. That hadn't stopped Torglug from adding the veil of Athelweard to his long list of conquests. Now this one thought to oppose him. Torglug could appreciate the craft his adversary displayed. He was trying to negate the strength of the plague hosts by funneling them across the few bridges still standing. The warriors of Chaos had lost hundreds when the Lightning Men and Sylvaneth started demolishing those bridges. Torglug's legion was suffering further casualties as his forces tried to advance across the narrow spans. Beastmen savaged human marauders in their feral bloodlust, impatient to close with the enemy that awaited them on the other side. Crazed, forsaken, their bodies erupting with grotesque mutations, ploughed through ranks of tribesmen in their berserk fury. Scores of his diseased followers were hurled into the churning sea by their own comrades, lost to the icy waves and the ravenous serpents undulating through the water. Overhead, the last of his plague drones were overcome by the winged lightning men, their broken husks splattering as they crashed into the snow. The flying demons had served their purpose, however. Only a handful of the airborne enemy remained, too few to pose a threat to Torglug's army, or to menace the remaining bridges. The strain of gazing upon the holy lantern at last made Torglug close his eyes and look away. It was a gesture of weakness that stirred in his guts, the demonic rotworm that dwelled there recoiling from the holy light. He would make the lightning men suffer for that indignity. It was said to be impossible to make one of Sigmar's champions feel fear, but he wondered if they could recognize despair when it stretched forth its claws to claim them. What was fear for oneself, after all, compared to the knowledge that your own failure had brought damnation upon those who depended upon your strength?
Gutfrax!
Torglug's slobbering call bellowed from the rusted face of his helm. His putrid Blight Kings retreated from their master's presence as the enormous demon waddled towards him. Only Slaugoth Maggotfang stayed by his side, potent charms and talismans guarding him against the great unclean one's pestilent aura. Torglug had no need for such fetishes to protect him. The favour of Nurgle was stronger than any demon's malignance.
"Your command, Torglug Icewalker,"
Guthrax croaked, steaming spittle falling from its rancid tongues. Torglug studied the bridges, crowded now with his warriors. He turned over in his mind the war bands that belonged to each tattered banner, the war herds that marched behind each primitive totem. He put a value to each, estimated how many men and monsters might be committed to each crossing. Finally, he pointed his axe towards the largest of the bridges.
There you are finding your road, he told Guthrax. You are crossing there and bringing destruction for my enemies.
The huge demon clapped his hands together in a gesture that would have suggested childish excitement had it come from anything less grotesque.
They seem to have many who will grow closer to the grandfather, he gobbled. Are you so certain you would feed so many of your own to me? Your warriors already on the bridge will have the choice of drowning or being in my way. That is being your road, Torglug repeated.
He knew the demon meant to horrify him with the thought of how many of his own followers would be destroyed when Guthrax crossed the bridge. The monster had no appreciation of his ambition. If it cost the life of every mortal that bent their knee to him, he would spend them. Once he captured the Everqueen and gave Nurgle the prize he coveted, Torglug would be rewarded with armies so vast as to make this legion seem a rabble of brigands. Slobbering and chuckling, Guthrax shambled off towards the bridge. The great unclean one's advance was noted by friend and foe alike. The Chaos Warriors near the bridge scattered, those already on the span fleeing back to the closer shore. Some made it, but others were caught between Guthrax's advance and the shield wall of lightning men at the other end. A few of these wretches leapt into the sea, rather than being crushed under the demon's waddling bulk. Many more hurled themselves against the shield wall, fighting with desperate abandon. The archers on the far side stopped loosing arrows and bolts into Torglug's mortal warriors, and instead directed their shots at Guthrax. The warlord laughed at their futile attempts to bring down the greater demon.
Is it wise to commit Guthrax by himself? Slaugoth asked the warlord. The enemy may call on the power of their own god. The lightning that...
Against Guthrax, we are letting them be doing their worst, Torglug said. More attention demon is drawing to itself is being better for me. More resources enemy is setting against Guthrax, less they are having to be bringing against Wheelfret.
Slaugoth looked puzzled, the worms between his blackened teeth even growing still.
The Wheelfret?
Torglug brought his blackened axe down, hacking a sliver from the ice at his feet.
Me, he said. While lightning men are committing themselves against Guthrax and other bridgeheads, I am leading my best warriors against them. Only we not be using one of bridges they are leaving us. We are making home bridge.
The sorcerer's stomach tightened. To defy Torglug was to invite death, but trying to repeat the ritual he'd performed before would certainly destroy him. He didn't have the Legion's warlocks and shamans to exploit this time. Indeed, the only resources he could draw upon were his own acolytes. Trying to repeat the spell with so little energy to siphon would reduce him to a withered husk. Looking back at Guthrax, an idea occurred to Slaugoth. He couldn't cross the gap as he had before, but that didn't mean there weren't other ways to accomplish the feat. Among Torglug's legion were the disgusting sloth crawlers, a pack of demonic beasts. The immense slug-like monstrosities would serve the sorcerer's purpose. Removing from the head of his staff one of his most potent talismans, Slaugoth began his spell. The sickening sloth crawlers slithered towards the frozen wave on which Torglug stood.
The demons will build your bridge, he told the warlord.
Let me build in it,
Torglug commanded, pointing to the spot where he would make his crossing. Gibbering in crazed jubilation, the first of the demonic creatures sank its claws into the side of the ice shelf, leaving its body to dangle over the edge. The second beast slithered down the body of the first, its tentacles biting into the flesh of its companion. Viscous ooze drooled from each of the ropey tendrils, fusing the hideous beasts together. A third monster soon followed, repeating the process. Demon by demon, Slaugoth was creating a living bridge across the gap. The serpents beneath the waves poked their head up from the waters, but recoiled from the diseased essence of the loathsome demons. Torglug laughed at the gruesome novelty of such a passage, then summoned his putrid Blight Kings to him. Once the demonic bridge was set, They would follow the vile path to the other side. Already he could see the enemy reacting to Slaugoth's ploy, a wall of lightning men forming up where they judged the living bridge would stretch across. Torglug laughed when he caught the flash of the holy lantern. It seemed the enemy commander was going to personally receive him when he staged his crossing. Destroying him would be an enjoyable appetizer before he seized the queen seed.
"He will need more than courage to stand against that obscenity," Angston told Grimm, pointing to the hideous bulk of the great unclean one as it waddled across the bridge, drawing ever closer to the formation of liberators at the other end. The demon chortled hideously as it crushed marauders and chaos knights under its bulk, or grabbed hapless beastmen from the ice to drop into its gash-like maw. The abomination's mere presence caused the ice to become blemished, crusted with a leprous foam. Lord Relictor Morbus added his agreement to Angston's words.
"Like the claw of Nurgle himself," he said. "A trial to test even the most stalwart."
Talon snarled as though to add his own support.
"We must hold," Grimm swore.
"The demon can't be allowed to break through. Every heartbeat we keep them here increases the chance for the Lady of Vines to escape.
You'll need the reserves to meet Torglug when he crosses that damnable bridge he's made," Angston said.
He looked to Morbus, waited for a nod from his skull-shaped helm.
"Let us stop the demon for you, Commander."
Grimm hesitated. Angston could appreciate the Lord Castellan's dilemma. The risk was enormous, and if they failed, the Hallowed Knights would be deprived of two of their leaders. To do nothing, however, would see the demon break through. Alone, the monster would be capable of holding the bridgehead, and the plague hosts would pour across. Whatever his reservations, Angston knew Grimm would do what was necessary to protect the queen seed.
"Sigmar watch over you," Grimm said,
laying his hand upon Angston's shoulder.
"Whatever it takes, hold the demon."
He looked back to the living bridge and the advancing mass of Torglug's champions.
"I will keep the plague lord from crossing here."
Angston saluted Grimm and hurried towards the span threatened by the greater demon. Morbus lagged just behind him, the Lord Relictor's stamina drained by the lightning storms he had called down from the skies. Some fell power was interceding on behalf of the plague hosts, distorting the bolts as they came crackling down and denying them the precision and power they usually possessed. Efforts to bring the fury of the heavens raining down on Torglug and his monstrous bridge had only sent slivers of electricity sparking across the surface of the sea.
"Nearer to the enemy, I may be able to defy the magic that strives against my powers,"
Morbus told Angston as they ran, giving voice to the knight Vexilor's concerns.
"What can be done will be done," Angston replied. "Sigmar grant that it's enough."
The obscene bulk of the great unclean one lumbered nearer to the shield wall. Arrows from the Judicators continued to slam into the demon, but without effect, provoking only a glottal cough of amusement from the fiend. As it trudged along, a string of bones and slime oozed out from one of the monster's hands, hardening until it became a gigantic flail. The demon dragged the loathsome weapon behind it, cracking it from side to side in its impatience to close with the liberators. Morbus stopped as they approached the defensive position. Holding his relic hammer high, he tried to call down the celestial fury of Sigmar upon the great unclean one. Divine power suffused the head of his weapon, but at once he realized something was wrong. A discordant vibration was burrowing its way into the energies he was summoning.
"Torglag's sorcerer strives against me," he growled through clenched teeth. "But he shall not prevail."
Crouching down, he set the heft of his hammer against his knee. Ancient prayers of appeal, entreaties to the God King, issued from behind the skull-faced helm. For an instant, Angston saw the celestial glow surrounding Morbus's relic hammer intensify. The Hallowed Knights nearby, reserves waiting to support the shield wall, gasped in awe at the power the Lord Relictor was calling upon. But awe gave way to revulsion as a sickly green luminance began to infect the divine glow. The grisly taint cast eerie shadows across Morbus, lending his aspect a sickly and perverse quality.
"The demon lends its power to the sorcerer," Morbus hissed,
his voice creaking with the strain of defying his arcane foes.
"They turn the foulness of their Krogon against me."
He raised his head, staring at Angston.
"Leave me, all of you."
The hallowed knights might have demurred, reluctant to abandon a leader in such distress, but Angston could hear the strain in Morbus's voice. It wasn't fear for himself, but concern for his warriors that tore at the Lord Relictor. Better than any of them, he knew the malignity of the magical forces the enemy was bringing to bear, and what havoc might be unleashed. Raising their standard, Angston called the hallowed knights to attend his command, ordering them back, leaving Morbus alone among the ice and snow. It pained Angston tremendously to leave Morbus, but almost at once his decision saw validation. The pestilent green glow continued to grow, expanding into a cloud of diseased miasma. Ice steamed within that noxious fog. Falling snow sizzled and sparked as it struck the fetid vapour. Just visible within the veil of sorcerous contagion, Morbus struggled on, trying to defy the atrocious evil that was turned against him. Smoke rose from his armour, as even the Sigmarite plate began to corrode beneath the aura of decay. Ghastly shapes leapt into being all around Morbus, rising up with the foul vapours. Demonic creatures conjured by the magic of the Lord Relictor's foes, the monsters converged upon him, dragging him down onto the ice. From the midst of the grisly melee, Morbus's voice reached Angston.
"Forget me! Stop the greater demon!"
Angston forced himself to turn away. He had to concentrate on the demon and prevent it from crossing. With the Lord Relictor gone, there was no chance to stop the beast before it reached the shield wall. He looked across the warriors acting as reserves for the liberators. A retinue of Judicators with Boltstorm crossbows, a Wargrove of Sylvaneth, and, most formidable of all, Decimator Prime Diocletian and his paladins.
"Diocletian, your men will support me. I'm going for the demon."
He looked to the Judicators and cast a hopeful glance at the tree creatures. "If we fall, it will be left to you to turn back our enemy." The demon's lumbering steps finally brought it to the shield wall. Even as Sigmarite arrows rained down upon it, the great unclean one struck at the liberators barring its way. The obscene flail lashed out, whipping across the stolid ranks of stormcasts. Some of the armoured warriors were flattened by the heavy skull-shaped bludgeons fixed to the ends of each ropey chain. Others were snagged on the spikes and spurs that thrust out from the surface of the flail, hooked on the putrid barbs and dragged out of formation by the demon's prodigious strength. Before the reeling liberators could recover, its clawed hands swept out, swatting them over the edge of the bridge. The hallowed knights held fast, closing together where the demon's attack had claimed their comrades. Swords and hammers flashed as they struck back at the abomination, but the monster would not be denied. From its plague-infested innards, a bilious stream of corruption spewed across the silver warriors. Shields lowered, weapons faltered, as the searing slime boiled against Sigmarite plate. Again the great unclean one surged forwards, its flail cracking down to annihilate a dozen stormcasts. The demon drove its decayed enormity full into the shield wall, crushing more warriors beneath its waddling obesity. Swarms of diminutive nurglings erupted from the great unclean one's exposed gut to fall upon the injured. A bubbling cry of malicious triumph rattled from the demon's toad-like maw as it slaughtered the liberators and reached the far side of the bridge. Its grisly humour only increased when it found Angston and the decimators moving to block its path. Clearly the demon considered this small group of adversaries an insignificant obstacle. Angston could see the flashes of vanquished hallowed knights flaring behind the demon, testimony to the carnage it had wrought. He was determined that he would pay for what it had done. He would make it pay for the loss of Morbus. He would show it the divine might of Sigmar the God King.
"Only the faithful!"
Angston cried out. The knight Vexilor brought the standard slamming down into the thick pack ice. From the great icon at its top, a shaft of blue light leapt skywards. The bolt vanished into the storm clouds. Obscene laughter slobbered from the demon's maw as it reached for Angston. Whatever power the stormcast had called upon, it seemed it wasn't answering. Before it could close its flabby claw around its prey, however, a blazing ball of fire came hurtling down from the heavens, a twin-tailed comet, the manifestation of Sigmar's godly wrath. The comet slammed into the ice, fracturing the thick pack, sending great slabs crashing down into the sea. The bridge the greater demon had crossed collapsed, pitching dozens of chaos warriors and beastmen into the churning waters below. The demon lord itself stumbled, sliding back towards the gap behind it. Bellowing in rage, the great unclean one tried to escape the crumbling shelf. Angston and the decimators still stood in its path, however. The knight Vexilor struck at it with the end of his standard, while the paladins brought their thunder axes chopping at its flanks. Something akin to panic seized the demon as the ice continued to collapse behind it. Angston thrust the end of his standard into the great unclean one's grasping claw. Puncturing the rancid flesh, the weapon became embedded in the demon's palm. Snarling in wrath, the monster jerked its arm upwards, pulling Angston into the air. The monster stared hatefully at the dangling warrior. Then its frog-like tongue shot out, wrapping around its helpless enemy. Angston struggled against the demon's grip, but was unable to break the crushing embrace of the slimy coils. Decimator Prime Diocletian cried out to his paladins. Together they hurled themselves against the hulking demon, hacking at it with their thunder axes. The demon swatted at them with its flail, trying to drive them back, while its tongue retracted into its sickly maw. Angston felt his armor crumpling under the mounting pressure of Guthrax's tongue. His very soul recoiled in disgust as the demon's maw loomed before him. Death was the sacrifice every Stormcast was ready to accept, but this would be a terrible end. If only he could content himself with the knowledge that he'd succeeded in thwarting the demon's assault and prevented it from continuing its pursuit of the Lady of Vines. As if in response to the knight Vexilor's entreaty, the ice around Guthrax rumbled. The cosmic violence of the comet had weakened the shelf terribly, but the demon's own efforts with its monstrous flail had finally decided the matter. In trying to ward off Diocletian's warriors, the great unclean one had sealed its own fate. Angston sneered as he saw Guthrax react to the groan that shuddered through the ice.
"Darkness cannot prevail against faith," Angston spat,
even as he felt his bones breaking in the demon's coils. With a monumental clamour, the ice crumbled away. Guthrax was sent plummeting into the sea, but with it, the demon dragged Angston and the decimators to destruction. The great unclean one's push had been thwarted, but not without sacrifice. From where he stood at the end of Torglug's living bridge, Grim watched Angston and the decimators die as they followed the greater demon down into the sea. He saw the bright flashes of light as they were sent hurtling back to Azir and into Sigmar's keeping. Talon whined sadly, but the Griffhound's master could afford no sorrow. There was no time to mourn their loss, or even to salute their valour. Grim had his own battle to fight. The grotesque figure of Torglug the Despised advanced across the abominable bridge formed from the bodies of his slug-like demons. With the warlord came his mightiest and most depraved fighters, his bodyguard elite. Hideous warriors, their bloated bodies spilling out from rents in their armour and splits in the corroded mail that straddled their frames, all Torglug's entourage bore the ghastly fly rune branded upon their flesh. Gigantic cleaver-like axes and obscene swords were clenched in the fists of each man. Vile talismans and trophies tied about their hafts or hanging from their guards. A diseased, slobbering cough dripped from the barbarians, a pain to Nurgle himself. Behind the warlord's retinue, careful to keep their distance lest they trespass upon Torglug's victory, packs of skin-clad marauders and one-eyed plague-bearers marched. Grim knew only too well how little he had to oppose Torglug and defy the Plague Lord's attack. A pair of Tree Lords and a retinue of protectors armed with Stormstrike glaives were all that stood with him to hold the enemy back and buy more time for the Lady of Vines to make good her escape. Perhaps Lord Celestant Gardus would have taken different measures, adopted a better strategy to oppose the warlord. But Grim had done all he could. His mission wasn't to destroy the enemy, but to keep him from capturing Alariel. To achieve that, he needed something the Stormcasts couldn't provide. His greatest weapon in this struggle wouldn't be the Hallowed Knights, but Torglug himself. Grim held his warding lantern higher, letting its purifying light shine into the faces of the warlord's bodyguard. Pain snarls and foul curses sputtered from the lips of the advancing foe. The divine energies of the lantern acted as a restorative to the Stormcasts, but for the slaves of Chaos they were a withering affliction. They were not enough to destroy villains steeped in such infamy as Torglug's elite bodyguard, but they could still weaken and distract these diseased foes. Grim hoped to provoke a further reaction from Torglug's retinue. He wanted to enrage them, to fan the flames of fury in their corrupt hearts, goad them into a reckless attack that would be fought not with a mind towards strategy, but simply with the raw instincts of berserk beasts. Torglug hung back as his bodyguards spurred themselves forwards at a run. The first of the hideous plague warriors were snatched from the bridge just as they reached the ice, caught in the wooden talons of the Tree Lords. The huge Sylvaneth flung their diseased captives from them in an almost human display of revulsion, sending the warriors hurtling into the sea. Other warriors followed, rushing at the Tree Lords as the Sylvaneth threw the first wave into the icy waters. Many of these were confronted by the Protectors, the mighty paladins skewering their corpulent enemies upon their glaives, ripping apart the plague-infested warriors with the searing energies bound within their weapons. Over and again the silver-armoured Stormcasts sent a cursing adversary crashing to the ice, rancid blood spurting from severed limbs and ruptured organs. Yet Torglug's bodyguard were no normal enemy. Their bodies infested by the most virulent of Nurgle's diseased blessings, their souls corrupted by the sting of the demonfly, they fought on despite their wounds. A hulking warrior, his face lost in a mass of pustules and sores, crawled down the length of the stormglaive that impaled him so that he could smash the skull of a paladin with his spiked mace. Another monstrosity crawled out from under the stomping foot of a Tree Lord, chest collapsed and splintered ribs tearing through his flesh, so that he might slash at the Sylvaneth's roots with a crescent-bladed scythe. The filth encrusting the blades of Torglug's elite troops brought ruin to the Tree Lords. From each cut and gash, a vile stream of contagion crackled through their wooden bodies. Bark whitened and split, falling away in wormy strips. Bloodsap bubbled up from ruptured roots or dribbled from withered branches. Even as they smashed their enemies underfoot or crushed them in their mighty hands, the Tree Lords were being destroyed by the noxious wounds dealt to them. With death coursing through their bodies, the Sylvaneth struggled to push through Torglug's bodyguard and reach their ghastly leader. Though their language was alien to him, Grim knew the Tree Lords recognized Torglug, and with that recognition came a terrible rage. To destroy the Plague Lord, the Sylvaneth were willing to trade their lives. Unfortunately, such a bargain wasn't in the offing. The plague warriors brought down their towering opponents, hacking them apart with ugly axes and splintering their trunks with brutal mauls. The Tree Lords were the first to fall before the warlord's elite troops, but they weren't the last. As more of Torglug's bodyguard charged onto the ice, the protectors found themselves overcome. One after another, the paladins were cut down, ravaged by the sorcerous contagion bound within the diseased blades of their enemies. At the centre of the fray, Lord Castellant Loras Grim continued to hold his ground. Bearing the warding lantern, he had become the target of choice for the enraged servants of Chaos. His halberd had ripped the head from one of Torglug's bodyguard, shorn the clawed arm from a second, and pierced the heart of a third. Talon ripped at the vile enemies, savaging their diseased flesh with his beak and claws. A heap of mangled bodies lay strewn about him, yet still they came, determined to extinguish the hurtful light and the one who bore it. The assault only abated when a vicious snarl cut through the howls and shrieks of the plague warriors.
"This man be mine! He is belonging to me!"
The voice was like the gargle of a bog and the death rattle of a toad, an auditory stench of corruption and obscenity. The warlord's troops withdrew from Grimm, making way for their master's advance. Grimm commanded Talon to keep back. If the plague lord wanted a duel, then he would oblige the fiend. Grimm had only seen Torglug at a distance before. Closer now, he could appreciate the horror of this monstrous servant of Nurgle. He was a huge man, powerfully muscled despite the bloated, corrupt swell of his gut. What little armour he wore was pitted and stained with corrosion, though each segment looked solid despite the patina of decay. Upon his vambrace, the fly rune had been daubed in a crust of filth, glowing with a fetid vitality. A single horn curled outwards from the helm that encased his head, only three holes affording a glimpse of the monster within. Grimm looked through them into Torglug's blemished eyes, studying their spoiled depths, seeking some clue as to the mind behind them. Through the infestation of depravity, he saw a pitiless hate, a hate now directed against him. Torglug hefted his massive axe, specks of foulness spilling from its blackened blade.
"God King is abandoning you," he told Grimm. "He is leaving you alone to be facing wrath of Torglug."
"Sigma has blessed me with the honour of ending your atrocities," Grimm snarled in the warlord's face.
"Too late is fanatic learning despair,"
Torglug laughed.
"First I am killing your light, then I am killing your faith. When you are begging for death, then perhaps I am killing you."
Exhibiting a speed Grimm thought impossible for a man of his size, Torglug rushed at him. The Lord Castellant whispered a prayer to Sigmar, not for victory in this fray, but that he could hold the warlord long enough for the Lady of Vines to slip beyond his reach.